You know that, right? That's what the scripture said. There were some places he went and he healed everybody. I do believe that we're going somewhere. And as a pastor, I'm not good with anybody not being a part of that. I'm not good with anybody being left behind. And I've been part of very small churches, and this is not a large church. I've also been a part of very, very large churches. And I know that people can get missed. But that's never my intention for us to be missed. And especially when it comes to eternal things. How sad would it be if we heard God's word proclaimed, not what John says, but what his word says, and we were to miss that? Now, I believe that there are moments with the Lord, and I don't want to miss moments. And I try to, I say, God, make me sensitive to moments. Like when you're moving, God, sometimes there's a catalyst, and then, but other times there's one thing that you need to just move with, and he impresses, and you got to go with that. But I don't want us to miss out on the whole. And I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't want us to ever get comfortable with his presence. I don't want us to ever get just comfortable with coming to church. Coming to church is wonderful. I want everybody to be here, but I don't want it to ever be where we take a day off. Because he's worth it every time. And there's something to us coming together. And I've been very introspective this week. And I've been asking God, show me what I'm missing. And I believe he showed me something. I believe he showed me something this week. Just for me. It was like, I take this very seriously because you matter. And I have a responsibility, and it's heavy to preach his word. It's a heavy thing, and I love it. And it's so hard, though, if I didn't love it and I knew I wasn't called to it, then I don't think I could fake it. I don't think I could do it. But I believe that everybody here that God has touched has a testimony. And your testimony is what God did for you. But I also believe that he has an anointing for you. And your testimony and your anointing are two different things. Your testimony is what he did for you. But through his anointing is what he's going to do. What he's going to do. And I believe that we're at a tipping point for what he's going to do. Amen. I believe that we're at a tipping point of what he's going to do. And I don't want to miss it. And I don't want anybody to miss it. I want us to all go together. That's what I'm saying. I want us to all go together. And last week when I preached that about blind Bartimaeus. I'm not going to just recap the whole thing. But it was... it's a very capturing story to me. Now here's a man crying out to Jesus, just like I said a minute ago, and he cried out again, even louder. And when he was told to be quiet, after he cried out the first time, he was told to be quiet. And when he did not let that define his moment, he cried out even more. That's when Jesus turned and said, it's not that he does not hear my cry. Sometimes some space needs to happen and some things need to happen. Yeah. And as I began to reflect this week, I remember some personal reflections from my life. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But this whole thing actually goes together. It's all encapsulated in one chapter. And by the time, it's like several things happen, but it's all moving one way. And it's Jesus saying that we're going up to Jerusalem. You remember that last week? We're going up to Jerusalem. And he told the disciples what was about to happen. And I explained to you that Jerusalem was the place where it all started, and it's the place where it all ended as far as certain moments for us about securing eternity. It was such a strong moment that what happened around Jerusalem, Bethlehem, right there at Jerusalem, Jesus was born. Golgotha, right outside of Jerusalem, Jesus died. But the Bible says this, if the authorities of this world knew what they were doing, if they knew what the effect was, they would have never crucified Jesus. Because the moment was sealed at that point. Because when he died, it was different than anything else when Jesus died. Because Jesus could die, but while he lived, they saw his power. They missed it. They missed his power. They missed it because they thought it was just this great. While it was greater than anything they'd seen, they missed it because it was still greater than what they had seen and what they had perceived. And this was what they missed. Even the demons saw that Jesus would raise people from the dead. But I believe this is why demons tremble. Not only did he raise others from the dead, they thought it was ended when Jesus died. Well, he was powerful while he lived, but now that he died. And over, the enemy tried to kill him. Y'all know that, right? Over and over, they tried to kill him. There are times they put hands on him to stone him and kill him, but he walked right through the crowd because it wasn't his time yet. But here was the thing that they missed about Jesus. Not only could he lay his life down, and not only could he raise others back to life, he raised himself back to life. Nothing like that had ever been seen or will ever be seen again. Except that he has that same power that raised Jesus from the dead actually lives inside of us. Do you know that the Bible says that he's a spirit? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I had something, I think you came up to me at the end of the service last week, and it reminded me of something that before. Last Sunday morning, I was writing some notes at home, and I had one of these pens, and Nervous John just started taking it apart. And I took the whole thing apart right there in my hands, and I was messing with it. I'm like, what are you doing? You're wasting time. And as I put it back together, I realized what I had just done. Oh. Do you realize I could just write with that? Anybody remember being a kid and you took these things apart and you wrote with just that? So I'm not the only strange one here. But if I put it back together, let's see. If I put it back together again and I get it just right, let's see if I got it right. If I got it right, it's right. Prove it to you. It's right. Y'all see that? So let me take it apart again. While it could do its thing like that, it'll never do it the way it was intended to until it's inside. The Lord showed me that he's a spirit. He can do anything. But a spirit always uses a body. Yes. To function the way he wants to function. And he can use every one of us, and he will. That's why the mystery of the kingdom is Christ inside of us. Christ in anything that we do that would bring him glory, it's because of Christ inside of us. So blind Bartimaeus has a choice here. And as I told you the story last week, I told you that Jesus told the disciples, we're going up to Jerusalem. He said, we're going up to Jerusalem. So guess what that meant? I don't know what's going to happen on the way, but we're going to end up at Jerusalem and we're going to go up to it. Along the way, the disciples, I told you that they got afraid because he told them that I'm going to be delivered up. The Gentiles, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be beaten. All of these things, and they got afraid. And then then James and John, the sons of thunder, approached Jesus with a question, and they said, Jesus, will you do anything for us? Can we ask you for anything and you'll do it? You remember that? And I told you how we act crazy. We talk crazy when we're afraid. The Bible said they were afraid. And the next thing came out was a crazy question. When they're his disciples and they're around him all the time. And they said, Jesus, can we ask you to do anything and you'll do it? And he said, go ahead and ask me. And they said, will you let me, James, and John, will you let one of us sit on the right hand and one of us sit on the left hand? And it caused a huge uproar with the disciples. And Jesus fixed it. But he said, we're still going up to Jerusalem. And he came to blind Bartimaeus. And blind Bartimaeus yelled out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they tried to shush him. And the people that tried to shush him, Jesus told them, you go back and tell him to come to me. But it was after he yelled out even louder, Jesus, Son of mercy, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what was Jesus' thing whenever he turned around to blind Bartimaeus? What did he say? He said, what do you want me to do for you? So the disciples had tried to rig something where they could ask for favor, but because of what blind Bartimaeus had said and his faith had moved him. I'm telling you, your faith will be like propulsion to get you from where you're at to where you need to be and put you into a position where things can be changed. Yes. And he said, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? That's a whole different thing than me saying, Jesus, can I ask you for anything and you'll do it? See, that's meeting Jesus with conditions. But when Jesus turned to blind Bartimaeus and said, what would you want me to do for you? If we saw the blind man and there's Jesus and he heals people, most of us would just assume, well, of course, man wants his healing, but that's not what Jesus said. He said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, that I may receive my sight. Sometimes you need to speak the thing to Jesus. Sometimes you need to have a revelation of what you think you need, but then say to him what you need. But that's not my point. The point of that whole thing was that Jesus healed him, but then the next thing Jesus told him, go your way. My healing did not fix things for your salvation. I healed you. Now you can go your way. And a choice is laid before him because that's who God is. We've all got a choice. And that's what I'm wanting you to hear this morning. You've got a choice. And it's on you, though. And as bad as the pastor in me and the shepherd in me wants to reach out and pull everybody to come, I'm realizing everybody's not going to come, and I hope that they eventually come. And there are still some that come every time, but you're still not where you know you need to be. Can I just say it? I don't know what the resistance is, but there's some little bit of resistance, and I can sense it. And I don't need to know what it is, but I can sense it. Because we're close to a tipping point, but when we get to it, I won't have to say, oh, I knew that you would do this if you would have done that. I just know that we're not going as far as we can. It's like we're going to the precipice. Is that the right word? And looking over and seeing it's there, but for some reason we don't go all the way. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know I'm talking to somebody. But I love what blind Bartimaeus did. No longer blind. Now he's blind. Now he's can't see Bartimaeus. Formerly blind. There needs to be something about us that the truth is we were all blind, but when we come to Christ, we need to be formally blind. I'm not blind anymore. I see now. The Bible said that he turned to Jesus. When Jesus said, "Bring him to me," he turned to Jesus and he went to him without any help. He was not healed yet. I talked to that last week. Let me move. But it says that Bartimaeus followed Jesus. When he said, "Go your way," it says, and Bartimaeus followed Jesus. That's what makes me do this at the end of that story, because the pastor in me is pulling for Bartimaeus and saying, "Please go. Don't just, you're beside Jesus. Why would you go any other way?" And the fact that he said, "I'll go. I'll follow Jesus." The Bible is recorded in his word, so it happened. He followed Jesus, and Bartimaeus followed Jesus. Let me read it, because I want to make sure I get it right. "And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Where did he say they were going? They said, "We're going up to Jerusalem." So he followed him to the place where it started and it ended, and it was all fixed. And I believe what Jesus said. And I believe when he said it is finished, that meant he had accomplished everything that had to take place. He was not going to have to show up on this day, what is it, November 14th, 2021, and say, "Oh yeah, one more thing I got to do." No, it's fixed. It's finished. It's still finished. Look at your neighbor and say, "It's still finished."
Still finished.
But will you go up to Jerusalem? Because the scripture said this, and as I studied out Jerusalem, I found out what Jerusalem was. It is a city, and it's set on a hill, and it is unique because you cannot, it said it's properly said, it's the most proper thing that you can say about Jerusalem is that we will go up to Jerusalem, because anyone that goes to Jerusalem has to go up to get there. There's no other way in unless you go up to it. So it brings me to this point right here. I told you some reflection took place with me this week. And for my children's sake, I don't say too much about my life before I was just sold out to God. I don't even like to think about it. And it's not because I was this big, bad sinner, but I was sinner enough, believe me. And what bothers me more than anything, I'm telling you, it bothers me to a point that I don't like to talk about it. I don't want to go back to that place, because this is where I had arrived at my life. I had arrived at a place where I went to church. When I left, church was a thing, and it was a moment in time, and I liked it. But I knew the John that nobody saw at church. And I knew his thought processes. And I look back at that and I think, how did you get to that place where that's what you functioned out of? I mean, I was not nice. I didn't have nice thoughts towards people. I had a way that was set, and I thought you needed to be that way. And if you weren't that way, I had nothing for you. No mercy. And here's the thing that was crazy about it. My thoughts were wrong. Yet I was convinced that I was right. It was a very arrogant thing. It was a very prideful thing. But I thought I was so right that I would not even let a relationship happen at all if you didn't see it the way I saw it. But I was wrong. And I look back on it now and I think, what was I even thinking? How did I even arrive at that place? And I discovered how I did it little by little. little by little, I was still coming to church enough that I figured out how to act here. I figured out when I could nod at what the preacher said. I could even, you know, wave a hanky when it went my way. And I also remember times when I thought, I don't want to hear that. I don't know who he's talking to. He ain't talking to me. I'll still speak to him, but he hadn't ought to said that. And that's proper English. He had not ought to said that. He hadn't ought to said that. And he was telling the truth. And I was missing it. And I was letting the truth offend me till I didn't want to hear it. But you know, that's what the truth does. If we're honest about the truth, the truth, one of the first things it does is offend. And you got to make some ground, and it's an upward call. And the Bible says this about that upward call. Paul said, not that I've already arrived, but this one thing I do. I let go of all my old thoughts, and I grasp and reach to what's ahead of me. Why? Because you can't do that with your head stuck back here. Can't do it. Some of y'all been praying for lost loved ones. And I owe you an apology because I've prayed for your lost loved ones too. But I feel like I've not given proper time here. And I ask God to forgive me for not giving his time enough time to work. Could I have closed something up too quick? I think there's a right place. I think there's a balance. I remember I grew up in church from a child. I remember in church, and I remember they call it white knuckles. They call it the white knuckles. When someone wouldn't come down to the altar, but one cause the preacher didn't try to give them he gave it to them. He gave them time. He gave them an eternity. I remember my preachers hearing my dad, hearing evangelists, hearing people beg people to come to the altar. Please, please, don't miss it. And I thought, man, it's getting a little tight in here. All right, they ain't coming. Can we go? Because I was just a kid. I wanted to go outside and play football. We didn't really have football. We had a piece of trash, balled up paper. We was poor. I told you all that. But I told you, I think you know, I've said that we've been a part of big church, and I've preached at some pretty big venues. And I've seen God do things at the end of those times, and I'm like, God, why can't that happen in my own backyard? And it's like, you really want to know why, John? Because you don't give me no time. Do you know what it's like to really disappoint your father? And I was like, God, but it's a little church and we get uncomfortable. And he's like, yeah, think about that. When it's a life-changing thing, maybe it needs to be a little uncomfortable. Maybe what I want to peel off of them could take a minute. Maybe I'll just peel one layer off enough for them to come back again and peel another one. And if you'll let me do my work, and you quit trying to figure me. I'm telling you, God got all up in my stuff. I was broken before him. But then again, he's so merciful and so kind. Let me just tell you that about God. He can wear you out. But his mercy and his grace is so good that you'll crawl up in his lap and say, thank you for wearing me out, God. Because if you love me, the Bible says that we spur each other along. I don't know where that spur is located. I don't know if it's here or if it's here. But don't go spurring me if you don't love me. But because he loves me, spur. despair, whatever it takes, God. And I listened to a song this week, and it's an old one. And as I listened to it, it ministered to me. And I told Christine, I said, can you play it? I knew she could. Because I'll get up here and sing with everybody. I don't like singing by me. Singing by myself. So you got to help me, and you know that. But I've been preaching to you about let's go up. And I began to understand it really wasn't anything I did, because I was still coming to church, but it took the Father drawing me and peeling some scales off of my eyes to see that I could go up, but it would be that it was His love that lifted me up there. And the song says this: I was sinking. Deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within. Sinking to rise no more. But the Master, Jesus, of the sea, that's Jesus, He heard my despairing cry. Like blind Bartimaeus, I'd cried before, but this time enough time had taken place. And He loved me. And He heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me now safe. That's why I don't look back anymore. Except to thank God that I'm safe now. And I'm not where I used to be. And I will not return to that place. Safe am I. And it was His love lifted me. Love lifted me. Hear this. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. His love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. I need to sing and turn this into a story. So God gave His Son. God gave His Son. When nothing else could help, God gave His Son. God gave His Son. God gave His Son, His name is Jesus. When nothing else could help, God gave His Son. Let's continue the story. His Son gave His life. His Son gave His life. When nothing else could help, His Son gave His life. His Son gave His life, you could say, for me. His Son gave His life when nothing else could help. His Son gave His life, and His life set me free. His life set me free when nothing else could help. His Son set me free. His life set me free. His life set me free when nothing else could help. His Son set me free. Take it up. And now I'm free indeed. And now I'm free indeed. When nothing else could help, His love lifted me. And now, right now, I'm free indeed. I'm free indeed. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Sing that with me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. I'm telling you, there's a reason I can't hardly look back at it, because nobody else knows but I know. And you don't need to know, but here's the good thing. I don't need to know what's holding you back. I just need to know that God is still able to reach you wherever you're at. And there's nothing that you've held on to that's worth holding on to if it means you're held back at all in Him. Yes. Yes. Don't fight with any resistance when it comes to the blood of Jesus. Is there anybody in this building who wants to say, today is the day, without any judgment, without anybody thinking anything about it, I want to be sure, today is my day. Yes. If that's you, I want you to come. I want to give you this time right now, whoever you are, that you could come right now and you could sing, love lifted me. Sing it.
Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
Can you just thank Him right now for the time that He lifted you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. From where you were to where He's taken you. I don't want to ever forget what He did. When I remember back, I remember what He did. And all of a sudden, peace comes in. The enemy, he will operate in that realm of your past. Guilt. See, he's a copycat. God has this thing called godly sorrow. It's not like guilt. Godly sorrow moves you to repentance. It's just like you run into godly sorrow. I'm sorry for what I did. And it just moves me into His presence. But guilt will make me think of what I did and push my head down. You know what you did. I know it. So I see you there trying to worship. But I know what you did. That's guilt speaking. And that flies up in the face of God's awesome power. And I want you to know right now, godly sorrow will move you to a place of repentance, and you won't really want to go back there anymore. I know who I was, and it has set a guard around me. I will not go back to that guy anymore. My wife wanted, she told me before, she heard, that's why I don't ever take her back to no college reunions, because she hears too much. And I don't tell her none of that. And don't tell my children none of that. They don't need to know any of that. I'm serious. I don't want to know any of that. Because she told me, she said, she looked at me, she heard some stuff, she said, John. She said, if I'd have known that John, there wouldn't be no John and Christine. Christina hit the road, Jack, and left you way back there.
It's not who you were.
It's not who I was. It's who I was, but that's not who I am now.
Not who when I met you. That's right.
That's right. And I didn't want my children seeing that John. Don't tell me. The Bible says this, that he has given us the power to become sons of God. Don't tell me you can't change.
Yes.
He's given you the power to become it. And only you will make a believer out of children. Let me just say this to dads right now. I say this all the time, and I mean it all the time when I say, there's nothing that your children can do that I believe that will impact them like your true worship of God. I'm not talking about you acting crazy all week and then come in here and fake it in front of somebody. But when the real God, and you have had an experience with Him, and you come into the presence of God, and you begin to worship Him, and your children see you worshiping, That's not any pretense at all, but it's out of something that really happened that impacts them for the rest of their life.
That's right.
Dads, you'll be the first example of God's love to them. You understand? I hope that felt heavy because I meant it to. I wanted it to feel like a big old heavy wet blanket covered on you for a second. You're like, whoa. Man, that's heavier than I thought. And if you're not doing as good in that area as you want to, today's your day to change it. Today's your day. You get in like that. Can I tell you that God will catch you up so much quicker than you thought? You can think, there's so much ground. There's so many years I wasted away. Can I tell you that Scripture's true? He restores the years that the enemy ate away from your life. It's who He is. He's so much better than that. I sense a change that He wants to do today. I sense change.
Yes.
It's right there. And you just reach toward it. But you got to forget the old thing to grasp it. This one thing I do. The Bible said it's an upward calling. In other words, it's a heavenly calling. I spoke to you then about the heavenly Jerusalem that the Bible talks about, that it's coming down. It's coming down. And this, Jesus said, now let us go up to Jerusalem. So that's a picture of our lives. We're on our way up to Jerusalem, but He's on His way down to us, and it's going to happen, and we're going to meet somewhere in the middle one day. I believe that. But until then, I'm on an upward journey with Him. And there's something that's calling me, brother. It's calling me higher. It's calling you too. I know it is. It's calling us higher in Him. Who will go? Who will go? Who will go? Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Come
on. James and John had Jesus. They walked with Him. But they wanted something. Bartimaeus, and this is the word from the first moment you started talking, this is the word the Lord's given me. How desperate are you for Jesus?
Wow.
How desperate, David, are you for Jesus? Tipping point? Everybody in here may belong to Jesus. I don't know everybody that intimately, but I'm saying being saved is one thing. Belonging to Him is one thing. But how desperate are we for Him?
Yes.
That's the word. James and John, they walked with Him daily. They were His. But Bartimaeus, I gotta have You, Jesus. I know You heard me the first time. I know You did, but nothing's going to keep me. Jesus!
Yes.
I need You! I need You! I want You above all things. That's what we're looking for. It's
Amen.
The desperation
yes,
for
yes.
Him. That's. Can I say, I need more of that. I'm ready, brother. I've been asking several people this week, have you heard what He's going to, what's the next series about? And they were saying, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard yet, but I'm excited because it's a blessing for my family and me to be here, praise God, that He's allowed us to sit under this anointing. But we got to be desperate. That in those little moments when we're being torn, I struggle with a lot of the past. I'm a melancholy. I do. I struggle with the past. But we got to be desperate. And I've been walking in that place for a while. I'm getting really desperate. Most blessed man on the face of this earth from my point of view. But I'm getting desperate. I need the Holy of Holies 24 hours a day. Not just that half an hour a day.
That's right.
The word is desperate. How desperate are you? How desperate am I? How desperate are we? That's the key. That's the difference. That's what Bartimaeus was. Until we're drowning. So if somebody's drowning, they're desperate. Desperation.
Yes. Thank you, David. Amen. So, the difference in Bartimaeus and everybody else is just simply he was missing out on one of the things that all of us, most of us get already. We hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, the five senses. Most everybody gets that. Most everybody gets that. But to the believer, we get something else. We get His Holy Spirit to guide us. I just came into contact about a month ago with a man that I saw healed when I was a kid. He had a head-on accident, and I saw him healed. He's in a church service. He's in a wheelchair, and I saw him healed. And I saw him shake under the power of God, and I saw it looked like his chair, like everything was bouncing. And the man got up out of the wheelchair and he walked back and forth in front of the church. I've never seen anything like it because what happened afterwards, he was an amazing man of prayer. He prayed with my dad all the time. He started a Saturday night prayer meeting and on the rare occasion that my dad couldn't be there, he'd be there by himself. But he prayed. He prayed. My goodness, that man prayed. But I'll never forget what he did after that service. You're not even going to believe it, but I promise you it's true. I could take you to this guy. He sat back down in his wheelchair. And he told the Lord, if You healing me would keep me from serving You, or I would go off and be astray somehow, I'll stay in this chair. Friend, that's a different perspective right there. And I saw him, and I saw him on a crutch-like walker where his wife had to get him out of the car. And they walked around and he was having to point at things for her to fix. That's a heavy load. But if I ever believed that there was one person I could call that would pray for me and touch God, it's that man. Now that's a whole different thing. Not even sure why I gave you that. People have to have graces for things like that. That has to be something that God has to grace you with the ability to deny something that He just gave you. I don't even fully understand. I'm not going to try to break that down. But it had an impact on my life. I'll just say this. God does not deliver you from one thing into another for you to forget who did the work and for you to move. If moving you forward out of something would cause you to slip back, it's not a blessing. And God knows all of that. When I said that I sensed change, before that I opened it up for a time of prayer. And don't be deceived. That's what the enemy would like to do. He'd like to like mask everything and think, oh, no. Just because nobody came down did not mean that God didn't do something for somebody. I do believe that sometimes an action needs to follow, a physical action, a commitment to Jesus. You know, when I was a kid, everybody, you had to come down to the front for it to be salvation. Somewhere along the way, we changed it to everybody, bow your head and close your eyes. Raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus. Some signal like sneeze, like twitch your nose. Something that I know that, oh yeah, they're right there. And I remember the preacher would start counting it down. There's one hand, two hand, three, and I'd go. I always want to make sure the preacher wasn't lying. But we created a safe little bunny hole for you to come crawl down in and get saved with Jesus. While we, as Americans, we do things on the most important things we do in our life, we do it on a public stage. We ask everybody to come around. We graduate school. Well, you can't do it anymore, but it used to be we invited everybody to come to graduation. You made the team, you wanted everybody to come see your kid play. You get married, you get the biggest, I mean, you want everybody. You do it as public as you can get it, just about. Not everybody does it, but a lot of people, most, by and large, people try to, but we'll take something like salvation, say, bow your head. We have got God completely figured out. Haven't we done? I think sometimes He absolutely, when He moves, it moves in spite of us because we've done everything to block Him from moving. But I'm just saying, I sense a place of change. And that might not be the easiest thing. For somebody to say, hey, I'm walking into change. And it could be something where I've said I'm walking into change and I've said I'm walking into change and I hadn't really walked into change and it become a place of embarrassment. But I don't believe that today is that day. I believe that some change is coming to somebody. And you're going to walk different now. You're going to walk different. This day, if it wasn't for anybody else, it was for me. It took me back to what He did for me. I'm telling you, I know He heard my despairing cry. Have you ever had a despairing cry? Have you ever felt like you're really close to something horrible happened and a noise came out of you? I know He heard my despairing cry. I have cried out to Him sometimes and words didn't come out. Noises came out. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That's them sloppy, ugly cries. And you don't want anybody around seeing that. I know they make better mascara, but there used to be some days I'd see that at church and I was like, who's that? I was a kid. I'm liable to say anything. I got to let y'all go get some chicken.
Maybe they have never been blind. Have you ever been blind? Have you physically ever been blind? It's a cute little Bible story for children's church. Until you've been blind. Have you ever been blind? Have you ever got up and you couldn't see? It changes. It changes everything. I was blind. Was I blind? Both eyes. Like, which way is the restroom? Detached retina in one eye and lens tore loose in the other eye. You can't see. Helpless. Like, I'm a little too strong, a little too prideful, a little too knuckle dragging. Long ways from you super Christians, you know. But just in an instant, couldn't see. It's different. It's a different story. It's not a cute little Bible story for me. I was like, okay, God, how do we walk? How does this look? For the first week, I had to sit face down in a chair for 23 and a half hours a day. Face down. Because if you picked your chin up, all the work that they did would come undone. It's different. It's a different story. When you really can, if you'll stop for a minute and say, the dude couldn't see. Like, he really, literally couldn't see. And I don't want you to never have to go there. But then as I began to worship and pray, and there's no guarantees. There's no guarantee with the surgeries and stuff. And I just begin to worship and pray and worship and pray. And for that season, and even still today, I've never seen more clearly. Like in the spirit, because I had no other distractions. I had no other options. So all I could do was focus and focus in the spirit. And just worship and pray. And you remember the word that you and I had together. Like in that moment, in that season. And I saw so clearly. So maybe we need to be a little blind to what we're wanting to do and how we're wanting to do it and when we're wanting to do it and the distractions and everything, and not get so caught up in just the day-to-day stuff, because I was blind, but now I can see. Yeah. Yeah.
You were actually blessed to be blind, as hard as that was. The tragedy is if you can see just fine, but you can't see. If your eyes are working, but you can't see. I'm just going to ask you to just, you know, Paul came into contact with Jesus. He saw the bright light. It knocked him down off of his horse. And God did a work on him. But it said that as he went to Ananias' house, that there was scales on his, it said it was like scales on his eyes that had to be removed. Can you just ask God right now, Lord, as we leave, is there scales on my eyes? Is there something I'm not seeing? Will you take it off as if it were great scales off of my eyes? God, I know you had to take it off for me. What I saw and what I did was because of the scales that were on my eyes. I thought I was right. And you had to let me see that it was me that was wrong. And you changed me, God. So I thank you for that. Thank you, God. You're such an awesome God. You can take eyes that work and give them vision to see you. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning. If anyone wants to stay and pray, I just ask everybody to leave quietly and go around. And we usually talk and talk and talk and have a good time. But if that's you and you want to come down and pray now, I'll be right here with you, okay? God bless you as you go this morning.